Good morning. I just don't know what to say.
Well, man, if it was
no. I don't know what to say. I'm just sitting here stunned by that. I've seen a lot of configurations, you know, in the backfield from the defense. You kind of got to read and see what's happening. I don't know. There's nothing there. There's no wide outs. There's no nobody. It's a trick. Praise the Lord. Glad you're in worship today. Today is a... Well, hey, come on in. We have some seats right over here. Y'all sit big. Okay. Oh, goodness. Well, today is, of course, it's always a big day when it's the Lord's Day. And in 100 different ways, there's nothing different about this Lord's Day, coming or going. But in some ways, it's very significant in the life of our congregation. And today is the last day that we will worship together as United Methodist Church. It also is the end of my 30 years with the United Methodist Church. So we have reason to be sad, to have lament, and to be repentant for all the things that got us here. And we also have reasons to be hopeful and anticipatory and excited. So that's the attitude I'm going to take today. And we just welcome you. I see visitors around, and we're very glad you're here. Surprised you all decided to sit so closely together. But I'm grateful for that anyway. Well, we have some announcements to make. And yes, I am stalling because the computer decided to reboot. Give me a number.
21%.
21%. Don't go. Come back. Oh, my goodness. We do have some announcements to make. It's been busy a few weeks. It'll be even busier next couple of weeks. So if you're involved in any of the committees and planning and all those different things, please... take note today to the announcements. First of all, today at 7 o'clock, there won't be a Way Forward meeting at 6, but there will be a small group formation committee meeting, and some of those know who they are, but I believe there was an invitation to anybody that wanted to... There you are.
She said she'll fill up this time and talk.
Okay. Well, Becky.
I'm sorry, we're not going to be at all. But 7 o'clock tonight, I guess we'll be in the Life Center. Anybody that's interested in growing closer to God and having your own support group, your own tribe, so small groups can look any number of different ways. So it can be people that just like to get together and quill or fish or whatever, or it could be people that want to learn, you know, scripture. And so they can, there's no, the only goal is that you watch over each other in love. That is what John Wesley said, so that's your goal. This is a sign-up sheet, just has a few quick questions. I'm just trying to glean who has any interest. So just if you're interested, just fill out if you have any interest. If you don't have any interest, just pass it on.
Wow, that was, keep going.
I'm in the middle, so just whoever's, you guys will walk it up here and keep it moving.
That was good and long. Thank you.
Sorry.
No. The heart of Methodism in Wesley's world was the small group, the band. And throughout the history of early church, of Wesley's founding, it was a very critical part of what it meant to be a Wesleyan, a Methodist. And so we're trying to recover that, and we want to incorporate the important nature of watching over one another in love going forward. So please be aware of that. All right. Tomorrow evening at 6:30, we have an administrative council meeting. Those are some necessary last kinds of things corporately that we have to take care of, bylaws, a few purchases that need to be made, and salary-related issues. So please be aware of that, and please be present. The Tuesday Bible study will need to be canceled. I have to be out of town to a funeral. So please be aware of that. Thursday, we are going to extend our evening prayer. We are very informal in that time. It will be an informal time, but we are calling especially this week. That will actually be the last act of worship we have here planned. So we want time of silent reflection and just a time of really pressing into worship on Thursday evening. So please be aware of that and consider coming. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be beginning our worship together as Walnut Grove Methodist Church. And we're going to have just a service of praise and worship. So to that end, we want you to bring an instrument. Some of you have been making instruments for the children. That should be exciting. And Becky is buying a box full of earplugs. But we're just going to praise the Lord. We're going to open up our hearts in praise and raise a joyful noise to the Lord. A celebration of freedom, a celebration of new things and new beginnings. And after the service, then, we'll have a meal, the Freedom Luncheon barbecue. Down in the Life Center. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited. We want to see you all come and be a part of that. Sign-up sheets for that, too.
They're the same. There's just two different ones.
Are there hymnals in the pews?
Yes, sure.
Okay. After COVID, I never looked again, so. All right. That gives me a little bit of comfort. Worship by hymnal. Kevin?
The transition committee, those who are on, will meet this Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Tuesday at 6, the transition committee. All right, that's an important meeting. Other announcements? Okay, well, let's begin our worship. Now, in this small black book, The Faith We Sing, our call is there. 2152, Change My Heart, O God. Let's stand and begin the spirit of worship. Thy faithfulness. 140.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Please remain standing for the affirmation of our faith. It's found in the hymnal on 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Praise and testimony are the life and the heart of the church. We're not all at the same place all the time. Sometimes we come to church hoping to hear a word from God. We hope that someone will be able to encourage us. The Holy Spirit, through someone's testimony, will speak and we will be encouraged. Other times, we need to tell it, because it's in the telling that our faith finds completion, finds its fullness. So we want to ask you now for words of praise or testimony this morning. Ann?
I missed y'all last Sunday.
We missed you.
I had a great report from UUSC in Charleston when I went down, so I'm praising the Lord for that this morning.
Amen. 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 Others? Ernie?
Well, I was thinking today, you know, about the difficult thing, those little children, when they pick up often, and when I was going to a cold dead Baptist church, and I was a kid, you know, they got up, you know, the men, they're like they lost their best friend, you know, and they would crack a smile. You see those little children, they're always smiling. They love the work of the Lord, you know. They're smiling. They're doing it because they want it, because they love it. I thank God for that kind of example that we old folks ought to take an example
from. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ernie. John?
Yeah, I got invited to a welcome home party to a hunter yesterday.
Tell him why.
He come back from Bethel. He was sponsored through Hope Mountain, and you know, had a good cookout, good fellowship. But the best thing yesterday was when the grandmother pulled me off to the side and I was getting ready to leave. She said, "I just want to let you know that he came to me yesterday and said he made a commitment to his family, but he rededicated his life to Christ." So a little voice in my head said, "That's why you do what you do."
Amen. We're celebrating with Hunter. We want to continue to lift him up in prayer. And with our, I think we still have about three folks that we're working with. So we want to continue to hold them in prayer. And continue to pray for Hope Mountain. I didn't wear my t-shirt today, but big things are moving for Hope Mountain as well. Others? Jessica?
Today is Aubrey's first birthday.
Is it? Aw. Aubrey's first birthday. Praise the Lord. It's been a year. Some of us are getting old. Other praises? All right. Well, what about our concerns? Who are we praying for this week? Ralph came by to talk to me a minute before church. We need to continue to lift up Lois. She's not doing badly. She's just not doing as well as she has before. So you know, we'll just pray and ask God to give her an additional sense of healing, also of pain management. I think that would be key. All right. Others? Is that Randy?
I want to ask cheer teammates. Brooklyn broke her arm in two places on Friday.
Okay. Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
All right. Jim?
Friend of ours, Leon Baltnight.
Yeah.
Had brain surgery this past week. And had some complications with the clot. But he's come through that and doing well. Just a tremendous man of Christ. And
yeah.
Keep doing his that. He's in Anderson.
Leon Baltner. Mark?
We need to pray for Pam. And I can't remember her last name.
Our Pam? Sockahatchee Pam?
Yes.
Baldwin.
Baldwin, that's right. He went over yesterday and found it, which found the water cut off for the trailer, got that straight away. But that trailer is in dire straits.
Well, we didn't, you know, we didn't repair it for it to last above 10 years. It's been.
But she's already, she's also got problems. Job problems, you know, she's lost her job.
Right.
Cars on the bed, so.
Let's keep Pam in our prayers. Eric?
Waylon, he fell off the monkey bars this week and pulled a piece of bone almost off with his tendon. We got to see an orthopedic surgeon with that, our orthopedic doctor. And then Tim Smith, I worked with him, he fell, or passed out, fell in the shower the other night, hit his head real bad and cracked some ribs.
Tim Smith. Jim? Daryl Lambert, kind, gentle worship leader. Came up to Chester, formed the worshiping heart of our Salkehatchee camp, and led us in music for many years. Didn't know much about which end of a hammer or nail to put on the board, but wound up leading many, many meaningful work sites for a lot of youth. And he'd had some health issues, a lot of tragedy in his life recently. But when his grandson was in trouble, I'm pretty sure he knew he probably couldn't do it, but he did it. He tried anyway. So, just felt like I ought to say it, because I gave him such a hard time when he was alive. He died a hero. And ask for your prayers for everyone who mourns Daryl this morning. Others? All right, well, there's more where that came from. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, how precious it is that you give us every opportunity to be overwhelmed by the beauty of all that you have made. How wonderful it is, God, to open our eyes in the morning and feel the aches and pains that this life offers us and know that we're alive. That today is a new day, full of opportunities and challenges and reasons to live. But above all, reasons to worship. That deep yearning, your spirit in us, the Imago Dei awakening, becoming more and more restored and finding union with you through prayer, through worship, just communing in fellowship. And here we are because we presented ourselves to be in the house of God, among the assembly, to unite our voices and our hearts with others so that our praise might be magnified. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint this service. Anoint each heart seeking you. And we find you in completeness today, in the fullness of this time of worship. But God, even as we mark a season of change, God, we thank you for all that the ministry of the United Methodist Church over the last 50 or so years has provided to us, the opportunities we found through that fellowship to minister and worship, to lead others to Christ, to feel that we were participating in the building of your kingdom on earth. And God, now we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you that as time passes, seasons change, even in ministry, even in our perceptions of what you're doing in the world. And God, as we follow now a differing path, we pray that your anointing will remain, that we will find a new wine and new wine skins. God, we pray for expanding ministries, expanded opportunities, but most of all, expanding hearts. The challenge for us now, Lord, is to love more, not less. To continue to see everyone as divine people who are loved with a divine inner love, people who are of sacred worth and value. And God, give us a chance to show that our love for you is changing the way we live out our lives. We pray for the ones we've named this morning who need our prayer. God, in every way, we thank you and praise you for healing, even as we continue, God, asking you to touch where fingers can't reach, to heal hearts, souls, spirits, and yes, even flesh, God. May we leave this place today, maybe a little solemn, but in reality, knowing that time marches on. It waits for no one. But God, with you in your presence, time can stand still. And we rest in that knowledge this morning, even as we share the prayer when Jesus modeled how to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." Amen.
Let us receive the Lord's offering.
Thank you.
let us stand for the reading of the gospel. Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is not enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they align to those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. For not to spare a soul for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." First word, the last word, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us receive God's offering. If the children desire so, to leave and go to a time of children's worship, and they will return before our service is over. So they'll be back in the sanctuary very shortly. Oh, that's going to be a sweet time back there. Now it's getting a little spicy. Now it's going to another level. She don't need no help coming down the hall. Go get them, Tiger. Yeah, sure, why not? Hey, Mom. He's good. We'll watch him till you get back. Hey, buddy. Have a good time. We're raising a family together here at Walnut Grove. We just got different dads and moms all around the room, but we're all together raising each other's children and trying to be a witness to Jesus in someone's life. So thank you for sharing in our family. Well, okay.
94%.
If you get a chance to put the scripture I'm using up, that would be nice, but otherwise, I'll be referring to your Bible. Don't go to meddling, preacher. We spent the entire month of June looking at worship. And we came down to the point where we said last week, God made us, designed us to worship. We are worshipers, and the reason is we get dirty. And he gives us an image of who he is, which is pure and perfect and holy other. When life is sad or confusing or disastrous, we look at him and he is unmoved. His throne is established in the heavens. His creation cannot be shattered by man. His authority is established forever. Sometimes easy for us in Wesleyan Armenian theology to forget some of that. We love grace. We love free will. We always have to draw back and remember that God is sovereignly established as ruler and king, even today. And so today we're going to go shift gears and hope you'll be continuing to be in attendance so that we can explore discipleship in different levels. Going to be looking at relationships, starting with friendship and some other things that I think you need to hear. Today, for this final sermon of my 30-year tenure as a United Methodist pastor, I just decided to throw a curveball. The title of the message is, Wait, What? I can't even say it like my grandson does, but you've heard it before. Wait, what? That's better, wasn't it? Let's pray. Father, we recognize your anointing when it comes. We sense the Spirit move in our midst, and we know that you are present in your holiness, that mercy is available to all. Your saving touch not only rescues us from the pit of hell, it redeems us for the now. It gives us purpose in life. You didn't say it'd be easy. Matter of fact, you said it'd be quite difficult if you do it right. But we would walk with you, Lord, today in the power of your comforting presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, in the text that would have been on the screen, it would have gone doubly into your spirit because you've seen it with your eyes. And just we're going to get a new computer. Jesus is referring to the religious establishment who continue to attribute his works to Satan, to Beelzebub. Everywhere they went, of course, the kingdom was breaking out. People were being healed of their diseases, of their brokenness. They were being called to account. Everywhere he went, there were the religious people with their fingers pointing and attributing the work of God to Satan, which, by the way, is a pretty serious offense. He said, if you're following me, you're going to be subject to the same kinds of experiences. If you follow me, if you do it right, if you remember the words I've said, it's going to cost you. And then he gives a laundry list, as Kevin read, just how much it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. To the point where we could say, if it's never costing you anything, you may want to check who indeed it is you're following. Even down to the point and to the family level, he says, families will be put to the test on account of him. Let's look at Acts 19, verses 11 through 16 in the Bible. I'm just having fun. Becky, you'll get through this service and there'll be another day. Really. Acts 19:11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, And their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And then he got beat up. It's verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. It's the end of the text. You can go to church. You can learn the Apostles' Creed. You can learn the forms and the liturgies. You can spout them in your sleep. You can have a certificate that entitles you to a plot yay big in the graveyard. You can have a baptismal certificate. You can get baptized in the River Jordan and bring back a bottle of water or sand to remember it by. But folks, especially with COVID-19, what we learned was you can't just throw religious themes and forms and liturgies at the world's troubles. If all you've got is a white 30-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, Kevin, you asked a surfer Jesus, American surfer Jesus. You discover, as so many did during this last 4 or 5 years, who now have vacated the church, that Jesus is powerless. That religion is powerless. Just a religion that has form but no substance. A religion that has nothing to offer the world except platitudes or love. And the kind of love it offers is not the kind of love that does anything except exacerbate the human condition. Medicate sad people. When Jesus went about in the world, as we talked about Thursday night, he walked through crowds of broken, hurting people. He moved through diseased and leprous people. He walked among bigots of every kind. He walked among the religious. Jesus was aware of every kind of human condition in the world. And even in his great heart of healing, in the heart of creation, he did not stop to take the time to heal and fix everything. And even though we get the impression sometimes from Scripture that he would have us do that, that's not it at all. What he asks us to do is go forth proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, that in his name the sick would be healed, the demons will be cast out, and the dead will be raised to life, and the kingdom will come. But not by throwing around dead religious themes. Jesus opposed dead religion because he knew dead religion kills. Dead religion kills the spirit. And he knew that religion often keeps people from finding him. And that's the condition we find so often in the church, and one that we must ever be vigilant about. Does our church expose people to Jesus? Does our church expose Jesus to people? Or do we keep them insulated with a knowledge of Jesus that keeps them from having to experience or profess or see the kingdom come in his name? Mom was lamenting the fact about a couple of children in our community that she knows really need to be exposed to church. Exposed to Jesus. But we were saying, well, you know, mom was saying, but they're being raised in church. And I said, that's the problem. Sometimes we get such a conviction, convincing that we have Jesus because we've been there. We got the t-shirt or the bumper sticker or the vacation Bible school. Sometimes we were raised in church. We feel like that has given us Jesus. In the recent developments in church theology, there's less emphasis on conversion because that's offensive, and more emphasis on making disciples. Well, you know what? You can't make a disciple until you have a convert. But all this making disciples of what? Jesus pointed to the religious people and said, you make disciples of hell. But even more than that, that we're accusing him of doing Satan's work. False religion feels good. At Christmas time, on a blue Christmas service, where we're feeling our special, we want some warm lights and some sad Christmas Christmas songs to make us feel terrible. We just have a need sometimes to apply a good religious salve. Sometimes what churches are looking for are not preachers of the gospel, but chaplains to nurse them along into their grave. Chaplains to go pronounce words over boo-boos. And to tell everyone that everything is going to be all right. A church full of these religious forms is never a threat to Satan. These Jewish exorcists were saying, I adjure you in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demon said, I know Jesus. I know Paul. You're about to get your butt kicked. I don't know you at all. Does Satan know you today? Are you a, what do you call those animals with all the spines on? Porcupine. Are you a porcupine around Satan? Does he know that if he sticks his paw out, he's going to draw back blood? Does he know you at all? You may have been a victim of religious, empty religious form. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus was talking to Peter. Peter, Petros, it means rock. He said, you're Peter, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will never prevail against the true church of Jesus Christ. But here's an interesting thing we picked on last summer. Gates don't go anywhere. I'm not running away because the gates of hell are trying to prevail against me. No, the gates of hell are an established and fixed position. You could even call them fixed false doctrines. Fixed lies. Foundational lies. But they're not chasing me anywhere. I don't have to go hide from a gate of the hell. No, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against you because you will assault. You will lead an active offensive against the gates of hell, and they will not withstand you, folks. This spirit of either abject depression and resignation to the spirit of this world right now is a good sign that our religion is false. That we have the American surfer Jesus syndrome. That we make wishes against things like COVID and the devil and bad guys. The gates aren't going anywhere until you knock them down. Who will knock down? Who will assault? Who will go against the gates of hell? You can bet that these false forms of religion will never cast down satanic powers and systems in a culture, in governmental powers and systems, or even in religion. Every day we live and keep our mouths shut around people bound up in false bondage. Believing lies, we smile and we dismiss them and we wish them well. Or even worse, they turn and look at us and say, "You hate us." And we say, "No, we don't hate you. We just know something. We know the truth. We don't hate you. The truth can set you free." Do you know the truth? A false gospel is a gospel that is rising even as we stand and speak this morning. A gospel that will be divided according to the world. First world, second world, third world. A gospel that is relevant to that particular region and time and its advancement in science and technology. A gospel that will be relativistic, carefully cultured to the people in which it flourishes. You think I'm just making an empty claim, but that's an actual organized effort. And they're rather proud of it too. The demon said, "I know Jesus. I know Paul. I've heard of him. But who are you?" Does Satan know you? Are you his favorite punching bag this morning? Or his favorite pin cushion this morning? After 30 years, I wonder, does Satan know me? John Wesley said these words, "I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America. But I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both the doctrine, the spirit, and discipline with which they first set out." I'm not afraid that they should cease to exist. He didn't even worry that the Methodists would cease to exist on the planet. What offended him and worried him the most was that they would exist only as a dead sect with empty words and no power. Wesley also said these words, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergy or lay, they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth." Could form this question this way: how much do you love these little babies in this room? How much do you love these little children? Just think about that a minute. How much do you love your dog? Are there some things you shouldn't feed your dog? Well, what are they? What can kill your dog? Huh? Chocolate? I knew it was something. I didn't know what it was.
Antifreeze.
That's a good example because antifreeze tastes really good. It didn't make me blind either. You see, sometimes in love, you can feel like your dog deserves chocolate. Sometimes in love, you offer children the things that you think they deserve. But you know what? Sometimes you're killing your children with the wrong kind of love. And if you believe that there are at least two generations today who are being killed by the wrong kind of love, then your heart may be as mine. Take hands, join hands with me. And we may not share every belief in common, but that's not what true unity is about. If you believe there is an eternal truth that sometimes stings, sometimes divides families, sometimes even you from your family, at least let them know when you die and they have to sit down and write your epitaph, your obituary. Let them say she was convinced that there was a higher truth. He was convinced of a love that would not let him go. It's easy to think that the culture has flipped over in a way that it can never be regained. But that's not our problem. Our problem are the children in this room. Let's shake the gates of hell. Let's have you personally make a choice to shake the gates of hell on account of the truth about who Jesus is, about the divinity of Jesus Christ, about the authenticity and the authority and the infallible nature of God's holy word. And yes, about love. A love that has seized us and will not let us go. A love that insists that all are welcome. All are accepted. All equally receive an invitation to come to the one who died for us all. And let Jesus sort it out. 4 years ago, we started with the mantra, keep your eyes on Jesus. There's nothing else that will sustain you in this time. Not thoughts of your grandbabies, not thoughts of the children, not thoughts of sound doctrine. But if you have a vision of Jesus that transcends time and circumstances, cultural situations, governmental, whatever, systems in the world, if you have a vision of Jesus that would let you go even to the cross, then you're ready for what comes next. Let's assault the gates of hell. Let's take a few minutes to reflect on that. Horn music, are y'all going to play today? Okay, as we come to our final hymn, at the conclusion of the hymn, a number of people will come and we will strip the altar, symbolically taking our leave of this space as a congregation. And, you know, there's nothing magic. Can't mess it up. It's just a symbolic way of saying we're ending something and beginning something else. So with that in mind, some folks will come forward. We'll clear the altar. And I ask that after that time, you follow me. We'll exit the building in silence, okay? We'll gather out front, wherever we can stand. And then we'll symbolically lock the doors. I was reminded of the moment for after 2 years when I realized y'all were serious. When somebody said we were writing things on the easel, the white paper, and somebody said, lock it up. And I wrote it before I realized what they said. And then I heard a chorus of people say, lock it up. That's when I knew you were ready to put your money where your mouth is. So, all right. Charles Wesley wrote a song that is purely Methodist. And it expresses our heart at this time. 553, and are we yet alive? Let's stand and sing together.
Oh,
involved criminal activities. I began to try to teach the Bible study on Tuesdays about lament. Lament used to be a healthy part of life. But in the modern time, it's been so erased from our understanding of life that I found I couldn't even talk to the Bible study about it intelligently. It takes more than I had time to do. Lament is regret over things that have been and lost. Lament is a regret for things that never were and never will be. A life cut short. A promise not kept. Covenants broken. Vows dissolved. That's lament. I am lamenting a lot today. I'm repenting for all the part that we have played in the brokenness and separation in Christ Church. Let us both lament and repent. For all that might have been but will not be, let us also lament and repent. For all that God can do with a new day, let us celebrate and anticipate God's activity in our midst. Today we symbolically close Walnut Grove United Methodist Church.
Don't lean on me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours now and always. Amen. Amen. Speak to these visitors. They didn't know what they were walking.